At about the same time George Harrison first released All Things Must Pass, jazz composer Carla Bley was finishing the charts for a piece that would lead listeners into decidedly uncharted waters. The opera, Escalator Over the Hill, was the longest jazz work in existence at the time, clocking in at just over 2 hours. It firmly established Bley as an avant-garde artist. Since then, she's become one of the jazz world's brightest lights, has won several Grammys, and was voted Best Jazz Composer by Downbeat and Jazz Times. Carla Bley made a name for herself at the cutting edge of big band music, but she's worked with groups large and small. Her latest CD, 4x4, shows off a tight ensemble of 8 musicians, including organ master Larry Goldings.
I love Larry Goldings. He's the best organ player I know, and I can't get him anymore because everyone else is beginning to think he's the best organ player they know.
Beware success.
Yeah.
He plays one of the probably most familiar riffs in organ playing, perhaps next to the Toccata and Fugue, but it's the beginning of a cut called Baseball.
Baseball came from... in the news, it was all over, you know, about Mark McGuire and Sammy Sosa, and this piece had a sort of Latin groove. And the piece was virtually written before I decided to call it Baseball and before I decided to put those organ licks in. That's usually not the case. Usually you think of the title sooner. But this piece was written, I was beginning to panic, and all of a sudden, it all fell together beautifully, I think. Now I announce at gigs, I say, I was able to get an organ player from the Yankees. This person plays for every game, but he's on a vacation for 1 week so he can play with my band. So I get a little shtick out of it, too.
I love it. I love it. The title of your tune, Sidewinder in Paradise, did the title come first and then the tune, or then the tune first and then the title?
Most of the tune first and then the title.
This is something that, I mean, you got bird calls, it's a regular visit to a tropical island.
Well, I recorded a lot of birds because I liked that particular bird, the pearly-eyed thrasher. I loved the song of the thrasher and would try to imitate it and converse with the birds, and I began to know if they were hungry or needed a bath by what they said. So I decided to tape everything they said, but I accidentally recorded it on a mono machine, and half of the tape I recorded over was still there, and that happened to be Sidewinder by Lee Morgan. It sounded so good with that rhythm feel against what the thrashers were singing. That became, you know, something that excited me very much. And as I worked on it, I started noticing that the chord changes were the same as the first 4 bars of Take My Hand, I'm a Stranger in Paradise, so that's where that theme came in. I decided to just steal that. Everything is stolen, the whole piece. I didn't write a note.
Let's call it borrowed and not stolen.
Yes.
I mean, even Stranger in Paradise was quoting Borodin. So.
Oh, thank you. Oh, I feel better. All of this, I believe our brains are vast music libraries, and it isn't so much creating something new, it's finding something old and putting it in a new context, or bending something slightly to make it different than it was before. Particularly in the jazz world, there are certain sacred quotes and certain sacred rhythms, and you have to feel okay about using them without actually, well, I'm no good example, I'm a thief, but the better composer would not steal outright, but just be influenced by and use parts of the traditions, the important notes, the important things that bring back nostalgic feelings in all jazz listeners.
I cannot pronounce the name of the final tune on the album.
Utviklingssang.
Utviklingssang.
Yeah.
What does it mean?
It means development song. I had already written the song. This is the case where the song was written. It was written for a group of the Scandinavian All-Stars. They wanted me to write a Norwegian-sounding song, and I said, that's the stupidest idea I ever heard of. I don't have the power to write one kind of a song or another kind of a song, just whatever comes out. But I got home, and all of a sudden, this Norwegian song came out of me. This, you know, like Grieg, only further north. And very, very simple, but I didn't have a title. I didn't know what to call that, you know. And I asked people, what should I call this? And they didn't know. And we were walking down the street, and there was a marvelously affecting group of protesters walking down the middle of a street in Oslo, and they were protesting dams on rivers in Lapland that were making it impossible for salmon to get back upstream and were hurting the reindeer habitat. And so they were protesting, don't build dams, and it was the word Utvikling appeared on banners, and I said, what does that mean? And they told me it meant development, and it meant they're trying to get development not to happen up there in Lapland. So I said, will it make sense if I call it a development song in Norwegian? And whoever I was talking to, they might be right or they might be wrong, but said yes. So I had my title.
Interesting tune. It's very, at some point, very melancholy. It's just very beautiful.
It's downright Nordic.
Downright Nordic. Is that, that's Andy Shepherd, right, playing that saxophone solo?
Yes, it is, and nobody could play it like him. He just kills the audience every night.
Do the math for us in your career. I mean, you've had big ensembles, you've had small duets. You had a big band, but then you vowed never again to write for a big band. And well, now you sort of got an 8-member group. What contributes to how you want to express yourself and using the number of instruments or musicians that you...
I don't feel like I'm expressing myself at all. That has to do either with economics or with the amount of friends you want to play with. Hmm. Or in the case of my agent in Europe, he likes me to come up with a new setting for the bands. So it's a way for my agent to sell you again and again, each time in a new package. I wanted an 8-piece band, and I got it. I just told him that's what I wanted to do. Next, I want to do a big band tour and album again in 2002 in Europe and 2003 in the States. And, well, there are some Americans I'd like to work with. I haven't had an American band for about 20 years. I have a lot of friends in Europe that I always work with over there, and I thought it would be fun to have an American band. So I'm going to write an American album played by Americans, and that's the hook for the next big band album.
Wow. Will you record it here in the States, too?
Boy, it's going to be expensive, but I'm going to start saving my money, yeah.
Carla Bley, her new CD, 4x4, is on Watt Records, and she joined us from our New York bureau. Thanks so much.
Okay.